Welcome to Optimal Health for Busy Entrepreneurs, the podcast for busy and high-performing entrepreneurs and leaders who are looking to create more energy and optimize their health while upgrading their brain and personal performance with precision. I am your host, Julian Hayes II. I've been involved with health and performance for over a decade. This podcast was created for the high performer who is unapologetically ambitious, the one who moves at a fast pace and operates with an edge, the one who wants to become superhuman. Nothing here is fluff, gimmicky, or feel good. I have little to no interest in simply helping you improve your life. I want to help transform it. By listening to this podcast, expect to have a body that feels just as good as it looks. Expect to possess a swagger and style that gives off an infectious vibe. Expect to command the stage or any boardroom you walk into with your executive presence. And lastly, expect to become your most enhanced self so you can live a limitless life. Now, let's get to the show. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Optimal Health for Busy Entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Julian Hayes II, back at it again with another fascinating human, another super human is joining me today. This is a gentleman who has worked on projects with for GM, Lego, Pixar, and many more. His name is Rich Rudzinski, who is the founder and CEO of Tragic Media, which is a digital technology agency that focuses on creating intuitive software experiences for business of all sizes. So without further ado, Rich, how's it going?
It's going great, Julian. How are you? I'm really excited to be on.
Awesome to hear, man. Thank you for joining me. I'm doing great, man. I'm looking forward to this conversation. When I was looking over your stuff, I looked at some of your hobbies. And so I think we're going to start here. I have one tattoo.
Okay.
And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It's from half my arm all the way to my chest, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I stayed the whole session. It was about 8 hours. And so I won a bet. The guy didn't think I could last for 8 hours.
Yeah, that's a hearty first session, man.
Yeah, but I wanted a couple $100 knocked off for the bet. Mm-hmm. And so my question is, where did the love of tattoos come from?
I mean, I think it all comes from, you know, kind of some of my background in like the music, scene and everything, was pretty heavy into, you know, the punk and metal scene and everything. And then also, I mean, it's also a lot of, my own personal self-expression. I mean, to be honest, I grew up, and went to Catholic school for, most or all of my life. So like, you know, I think I had a lot of, psychological, you know, constraints on my ability to express myself. So I think it just all came out very loud at the very end there. So you know, and then I just, you know, I find myself to be like, you know, very artistic, but I'm not really an artist. So it's one of my forms of like self-expression, my ability to customize my own appearance.
What was the most painful one?
I mean, armpit has to be up there. Ribs are fun. I mean, you know, there's definitely some a lot of different fun places in the body.
I tend to find that sometimes with people who have a lot of tattoos, it's sometimes maybe like you mentioned, it's a way of expression, maybe from childhood, that they didn't get that opportunity, and then some just are addicted to like the feeling.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it definitely has a very therapeutic element to it. We were talking before about how, you know, the gym is a really big, you know, outlet for a lot of people. I think that, you know, tattoos is another one, is to the ability to go and just sit and, you know, get worked on for a few hours and just kind of detach from everything else and just focus on that and nothing else. You know, it can be very therapeutic and give you a really nice, you know, sense of relief and everything from all the other stresses in your life.
And I also saw that you're a bit into video games.
Yeah.
So Current systems or old system? What's your favorite video game?
Oh, I like computer games, so I like new stuff. But I mean, I'm always diehard for the classics. You know, have a I mean, Some of my favorites are still like the original Half-Life, the original Doom, and some of the old shooters from like way back when and stuff. So,
were you into StarCraft?
No, I didn't get too much into StarCraft, but I did. I did play a number of other ones that were similar. Just didn't get into. I had a couple friends that really got into that.
Yeah. For some reason, I went back. I think I was on YouTube or something. Just one of those weird YouTube rabbit hole things.
Yeah.
I just went back and looked at the graphics and then just like how the games were played, like totally. N64 GoldenEye and even StarCraft. And I was like, wow, technology has come really far. And it's been
really has
like 20, 25, 20 years or so like that.
Yeah. Yeah. They just, for some reason, the name is blanking me, but they just re-released one of the original like RTS games that I played like way back, you know, when like before high school or something, you know, and they just re-released it as a Steam pack. That was exactly my thoughts on it. Was it was just like, wow, like this used to be so immersive and intense, and like look how pixelated and funny it looks, you know, like
it's so crazy. But but anyway, before we start at the present and where you're going in the future, let's go back a little bit to your past and learn about you and get a little into your origin story.
All right,
so let's I guess take us on a brief journey of how you got to where you are right now.
Sure. So I came down, I'm from like the LA area, came down to San Diego for school, went to UCSD. While I was at UCSD, I kind of shifted from a straight computer engineering major to one that was a little bit more new age media focused. So a little bit more able to pick and choose what I wanted and learn about the new upcoming things. So I really got immersed into the web at that point. And coming out of college, I didn't want to move back to LA to do music. I wanted to do music, but I didn't want to move back to LA. So I ended up getting into new digital media, new digital technology. I worked at a growing agency out here, and I got to work on some really, really cool projects with some national brands, just really big stuff. And it really taught me the process of how a team works together to build, you know, a modern website. You know, at that time, there was a lot of web stuff. At that role, I kind of hit a little bit of a growth ceiling. It was right at the 2008 recession. I was finding the job that I was looking for, and I was always doing consulting on the side, and my consulting started taking off, and I was like, you know what, let me just focus on this. And that way I can, you know, pay my bills and I can focus on getting a job. And then once I didn't find a job and my consulting, once I stopped having the 9-to-5, you know, my consulting really started to take off. So then I was like, wait, what am I doing? I have a job like right here. Let me get this going. Very quickly after, I ended up hiring two developers to work under me. Our original mission was mostly helping other agencies with their really technical projects because they weren't really staffed to do that. I discovered that like this is a common problem for all businesses. Like businesses that aren't technical businesses have a very hard time building software products, anything custom, whether it's a website, whether it's an application, whatever it might be, doing, you know, cloud hosting, whatever. And finding the right company to help them, lead them through that process and make sure that, you know, they understood their goals and their budgets and their timelines and kind of build the project around that. There's not a lot of companies, at least at, you know, 12 years ago when I started this, there weren't a lot of companies that did that. You know, there were a lot of marketing agencies, design agencies, but not a lot of like software development agencies. A lot of them were like overseas, or they were coupled into much bigger companies. So then you had to have like, you know, really large projects, really large budgets to work with them. But, you know, my whole approach has always been like, we're here to help non-technical people with their, technical projects, whether you're trying to launch a startup or whether you're, you know, a business and you're trying to build some software for, you know, your team or for your customers. You know, we really get in there and we lead and understand what your goals are and make sure that like the project is not only successful on brand, but that also it's going to, you know, really meet your goals and work with your budgets. And, you know, we really partner with our clients to, you know, ensure their success over the long term.
Yeah. Has it, during that, working with your clients right now, has it been a little, have you had to kind of change a few things over the last course of the year or so with the way things are in the world?
First off, we definitely it hit us hard. It hit our clients hard. We were working a lot of people in like the hospitality space. And even, we have a couple entertainment brands that we work with. And, you know, it just
really shuffled a lot of industries, and that work just trickles downhill. So, you know, a lot of the agencies, whether you're marketing agency or design, whatever, like, you know, the whole industry got hit pretty hard depending on where your kind of customers were. With us, you know, it definitely hit us hard. It hit us mostly, like, I think the hardest thing for me to solve during all this time is like the business development. Almost all of our work comes from referrals and from networking and people that find out about us through, you know, our partners or colleagues or whatever. And the whole pandemic, especially in California, where they really shut everything down, it made a lot of that really difficult. There was, you know, some company, like right before, there's a company that was going to fly down just to meet us to kind of like, you know, check the dots and, you know, dot the I's, cross the T's, you know, type thing. Yeah. Make sure that, you know, we're a real company, you know, or, you know, people are legit and everything like that. And that ended up getting canceled, which is interesting because I think like that whole idea that you have to like go like touch somebody or meet with somebody in person, like that's out the window now. I feel like that's just such, you know, archaic thinking at this point, you know, a year later. But, you know, it definitely shuffled that stuff up. And then we passed along some savings to some of our clients so that we could continue to help them during this time, without hitting their, you know, bottom line quite so hard, knowing that they were struggling. So, you know, we really partnered with our clients. We really worked with them to figure out how we can both get through this time together. So I don't think it necessarily changed a lot of, our relationship. There's definitely like, you know, initially there's a lot of like put banners up on all of the applications and websites and everything and tell everybody that we're still open or here are our hours, or this is how you can work with us now. But after that, you know, it kind of went back to normal. I think if anything, a lot of the clients pulled back a lot on their work because everything was so unsure that they weren't, you know, they had to like, kind of like everybody, all the businesses basically held their cash and like needed to figure out what was going to happen before they decided how to move forward.
So it sounds like you did a lot of in-person networking to build your relationships, and it was your business was word of mouth and just referrals, as you mentioned. So with that said, I guess what's your strategy now for continuing to build more new relationships?
It's hard. You know, I think especially, you know, even just over this course of this year, I feel like the amount of noise, even on like LinkedIn and stuff, is like tripled, you know, versus just what it was previously. So like even just like getting your message out there or having conversations, I feel like there's a lot more shut doors in some of these other avenues than there were before. So, you know, I'm coming up with new ideas, working with new partners. You know, one of the things is getting, you know, having conversations like this, getting our brand out there and really trying to, you know, get on a bunch of podcasts and share our story and share our mission and everything. Cause that helps just kind of spread, you know, the brand awareness on that end. And then I think over the last few months, maybe like 6 months, it's, you know, or so, it's definitely started to pick up in terms of like alternative networking options. I joined a group, called Eliance out of Arizona. That's like, kind of like small business power networking group. And so I've been trying that out. And then there's a number of other, just online. I always keep my eye out for any like online networking, you know, conference type, environment where I can get out. And then, I've been using a Lunch Club pretty heavily as well. I don't know if you're familiar with that app.
You know, I heard about it. I haven't finished, filling out my profile.
The onboarding. Yeah.
How is it though?
It's a little hit or miss. I really like the concept of it. I think it's super cool. I think that their algorithm needs a little bit of work. It's like I stopped using it for a while because it just kept matching me with other software development company like leaders. And I'm like, I don't want to talk to my competition particularly, you know, like I'd like to like, you know, while it's good to understand what other people are working on and stuff, like I'm trying to like, you know, build some network and stuff here. So that was the only thing that's a little bit rough. But you know, I have like a bunch this week. I've been signing up. I gave it another go and the last couple of weeks have been a lot better. And so, you know, whether it's me, you know, cause you can tell it how the matches are. So I think, you know, whether they're starting to learn what I like and don't like, or whether it's just, you know, growing so there's more availability of users there, I'm not exactly sure, but it's been a better experience. I've had you know, I had a couple really good conversations, a couple, you know, people that connected me with some people, I connected them with some people, you know, so it's really good just about relationship building and networking. I'm not on iOS, so I haven't been able to jump on the whole Clubhouse bandwagon, but I did, you know, this has been a good form, but I think that's the other one that's really started to drive up popularity is Clubhouse and ways of just getting your brand out there and connecting with other people in your industry or other like-minded people and stuff like that.
Yeah, I haven't figured out the Clubhouse thing. It's a little overwhelming to me.
Is it? Yeah, I haven't even. Right now, I was like, oh, iOS only. I guess I'm not gonna try.
But I don't know if it's a little overwhelming to me right now. I prefer the more one-to-one connecting more than just this big room and everything. So
right, yeah.
But I'm going to look into Lunch Club because I have heard about that. I just need to.
You should give it a go. Totally. I think it's a good opportunity just to get, you know, your brand out there, you know, depending on what your goal is, you know, if you're looking for podcast guests or if you're looking just to build it or whatever, you know, there's you can kind of cater who you're trying to meet with a little bit. So.
Yeah. And so let's go back to the recession during 2008. You know, that hit a lot of people in many different ways. And you were getting ready to leave a job and essentially transitioned during that time. Did you have any reservations or were you knew for certain that this was going to work out?
I definitely didn't know for certain. I was confident that I could scrape by and find another job. I could definitely like have moved laterally. I just was trying to move up and I wasn't getting that upward momentum that I wanted to get. And really like the amount of, actually what ended up triggering it was that, I got an opportunity for a really big, consulting opportunity, that would take up a lot more of my time. So with that bigger opportunity, I'm like, okay, this is enough of a safety net that now I can just focus on this full time. You know, I think it's really important for anybody that's starting a side hustle or looking to do an entrepreneur that, you know, stick with your 9-to-5 as long as you can, because that's just like a steady income stream. And then you can invest your consulting income into growing that business or your business, you know. But at some point it's going to be holding you back because you need to focus on your company to get that growth. And so that's, you know, once I got that contract and I felt, okay, this is enough of a safety net, I jumped and I figured I was just going to be looking for another job. But then, you know, the recession really started to sink in and I was just like, well, and because of that, I think, you know, I think it really kind of mirrors this pandemic because, you know, anytime there's like big turmoil and markets change and down, like it's a really great opportunity for innovation. It's a really great opportunity for consultants because companies are hesitant to hire, but they still need to get the work done. A lot of people I've seen, you know, after the initial pause, I think a lot of colleagues and other people I know, you know, in the space and stuff, I've seen a big uptick in consulting work because, you know, companies don't quite have the funds to hire, need the work done. And then also, you know, with all the changes, social changes, environmental changes and everything, you know, there's a lot of just opportunity for startups and innovators to get out there with new products and new ideas and, you know, figure out how to make this at least, you know, new normal somewhat more manageable.
Yes. And so as you're growing your company, what do you think has been some of the, I know you mentioned the networking as a big tool. What else has kind of been beneficial in terms of helping you grow your company to where it is right now?
I think for me personally, like a lot of it was just like sheer willpower and determination. Like, you know, we had a lot of ups and downs, like, you know, if you think about, you know, we were just talking about technology, you know, think about where websites were 12 years ago, you know, when I launched this company versus what they do today, what you could do on your phone in an application then versus now, like the whole industry has evolved very quickly. Things are very rapid moving with that. There's a lot of stumbles, a lot of, you know, missteps as you're trying to figure out, you know, what works, what doesn't work, what verticals do we need to kind of like, you know, swim in and everything like that. I think there's plenty of times when many other people would have called it quits and would have thrown in the towel. And I think, you know, the reason that we're here and we're continuing to grow is just because I pushed through those boundaries. Sometimes it was painful and it was, you know, lots of long all-nighters and everything else. And sometimes it was, you know, financially painful having to invest, you know, more into the business than I could into myself. Those were decisions that I made in order to push the business, you know, to that next level and get and continue to grow it. You know, I'm reading this this book and it talks about just like the struggles of small business. And, you know, I think it's like 80% of small businesses like close within the first 5 years and then another 80 within the next 5 years. Like, it's just a really hard struggle. We're at 12 years now. So we've definitely had our fair share. And a lot of times it's just that, you know, determination as an entrepreneur that like, we're going to get through this and we're going to make it to the other side of this, you know, is really what's been pushing through.
Yeah. So you mentioned technology and it, and, you know, just from my outside opinion, who knows very little about technology, I know enough just to get by. Mm-hmm. Like it moves so fast. So is it key for your company just to stay at the forefront of that? Like when it comes to like I'm thinking websites, for example.
Yeah.
They changed, like, it seems like every month there's something new on a website. Right. So when you're working with clients, do you have to continually go back and keep updating it? Or do you kind of foresee what's coming ahead and you can go ahead and start and you create that technology beforehand?
Yeah. So it's, I think it's a little bit of like, it's kind of complicated because like, so what we do is because we're like a support organization and we partner with our clients, we partner for the long term. So we have to be able to like, we can't just always be using the latest bleeding edge technologies because businesses aren't going to rebuild their website. We, you know, we can just focus on website for right now. They're not going to rebuild their website every year because something new came out that's cooler, faster, whatever, you know? So a lot of it is being able to maintain what's there. You don't want to be too bleeding edge because if you're too bleeding edge, it's not really, the technology is not stable. It's not really adopted everywhere. And sometimes those technologies fall off or they don't get adopted. But you need to be on the edge because, you know, in order to land new business, you want to be able to talk about, you know, these latest new features and, you know, tools and technologies and cost saving, you know, approaches and everything that you have. So we, you know, we focus around certain different frameworks and different languages of code, certain infrastructure in terms of our cloud. And then we always try to stay on the edge of that, you know, with our new projects, always pushing out the new latest, you know, coolest things. But then, you know, because we work with many of our clients, I mean, some of our clients we've been working with for 10 years and, you know, helping them to slowly upgrade their systems iteratively, you know, little by little, as they have time, as they have budget, as it's necessary, you know. So one of our longest clients is My Italian Family. They help with dual citizenship and help people get dual citizenship in Italy. And they have a really customized CMS website, e-commerce site that we built for them. And it's on a very old platform. And that platform has made several updates since then. And now the version they're on is depreciating. So we're helping them to make a big update. And, you know, we've continuously helped them stay updated. But at this point, they need to kind of make a big update to get up to that latest version. And then they'll be able to sit there for another 5-10 you know, years or whatever. So, you know, it's a lot about being strategic partners with our clients and really understanding what's important to them, you know, helping keep their sites secure, keep their sites up to date, show them when the coolest things are out that'll benefit them. But we're not, you know, not every cool new thing is going to benefit every client. So, you know, we're not really about, you know, trying to hard sell everybody. It's really about helping our clients to grow and making sure that we're offering, you know, new technology and new advances when it's applicable to them to help them to, you know, scale back costs or, you know, stay up to date or provide a better experience or whatever it might be.
Yeah. You mentioned something probably unintentionally when you were talking about having clients for years, and I hear client retention. You know, a lot of times entrepreneurs continually focus on acquiring new customers and bringing in, and that's more expensive than retaining clients. And so probably one of the key successes to your business, I'm assuming, is that you have such great client retention.
Yeah.
So what are some kind of key points that you would probably recommend to other entrepreneurs when it comes to really honing in on that key skill of client retention and nurturing relationships?
Yeah. I mean, you hit it on the head there. Like, again, because we're a small company, because we, you know, aren't a really large, well-funded agency that, you know, has a bunch of money to throw into marketing and sales and stuff. And because most of our, you know, all of our projects are very technical. And so they all come kind of through word of mouth or relationship building and stuff. So it's really important for us to retain our clients because we can't churn and burn through them the way that some other agencies do. You know, I think, you know, certain agencies, depending on their deliverables, it's a little more geared to that. Like maybe if they're just doing, you know, setting up, building marketing campaigns, and they can just go in there setting up a new marketing campaign or coming up with new marketing concepts for clients. And that's like a new project each time. But with us, it's a lot of like, once you build it, you also have to maintain it and support it. Mm-hmm. And then also helping, you know, I think it's, for us, the success comes from really being strategic partners with our clients and really having their best interests in mind.
So, you know, it's also about, so that's one of it, and making sure that we're looking out for their best interests, that we're, you know, continually providing great value to them so that they'll continue to be a client with us. And the other thing is like the flexibility of our approach is like, I want our clients to be successful because then we're going to be successful because, you know, they use us and, you know, our work's going to grow if their, you know, revenue grows and everything like that. So it's also about the flexible model and how I set up our support retainers and everything by not strong arming, like, you know, baseline support and by, you know, offering these flexible models in which we engage with our clients. It really sets them up for success so we can be there to support them when they need it and not be a really high ticket item when they don't. So, you know, I'm definitely not making the most profitable business by doing this. You know, I could definitely like increase my margins by, you know, setting different rules and stuff, but that's what's led to a lot of my long-term client success. So over time, I do make more money and it does, you know, provide a lot more value. But, you know, it's something that's a little bit of an ebb and flow. I have to invest in them. They invest in us and, you know, together, you know, we're able to make each other very successful.
I'm always curious on names. So where did Tragic Media come from?
Well, it really came from, you know, helping businesses to save them from their technology tragedies. You know, just so much of our early years were like businesses would come to us and we would be like the third or fourth person they've been, you know, they went through some, you know, their mom's friend or something. And then they tried to get something built there and that failed. And then they went to some other agency, but they weren't really a technology agency, or, you know, they, you know, over outsourced all the work overseas and had bad management of their resources. So it didn't come out the way they needed or something. So when they found us and, you know, we finally like got to the heart of it and would build it for them, you know, and stuff, it was just such a great relief for them. And that's really turned into kind of our mission, you know, is to really like help businesses to save, because like not having the right partner in your technology can lead to just like outrageous, you know, losses and overages. And ultimately your whole project could be, you know, just unsuccessful. So, you know, helping businesses and understanding their goals and their needs and what they're trying to accomplish and coupling that with great modern technology and a really great senior staff team that really understands how to build these technologies. You know, it just helps to ensure better long-term success for our clients. It helps to ensure that they're able to use the technology without going through all of the hurdles of trying to, you know, build it themselves or trying to, you know, work with these, you know, different companies that, you know, definitely are, that maybe don't have their best interests in mind.
You know, speaking of businesses and technology, what's one underrated thing when it comes to technology that businesses need to focus on more? And what's one overrated thing that businesses should focus on less when it comes to technology?
Well, I think one of the, maybe not necessarily underrated, but one of the like most important things I think from technology is the use of it for automation. I think there's just a lot of things that businesses and business owners get caught up with, and they're doing a lot of manual things that, you know, you could have a developer write a script for and then just automate all of that for you. Or you could build a system, reminds me of one of our projects a while back. We built this application for this solar finance company, and their client finance onboarding process was a nightmare. And like, I literally sat behind this one girl to see, like, you know, try to understand what everybody's, you know, job is and how the process flows so that we could create software to automate it all. And this girl just sat there and just refreshed her email inbox just constantly because she had to like get the email right when it came so that she could get it submitted within 5 minutes or whatever. Her, like, it was intense. You know, like a simple notification system or a way to automate that. You know, there's ways to solve some of these processes and these flows, or to, you know, connect outside systems. You know, there's some people that are spending so much time extracting data from one system to connect it to another system. Well, there's a lot of, you know, tools with APIs you can connect those and automate all that yourself and save yourself, you know, hundreds of hours. So that's one thing that I think is definitely necessary to focus on for business owners, in a way to save money, save time, create efficiency. And then I guess the, let's see, an overrated technology thing. Well, I guess I'll take it from a startup approach. I think a lot of startups, you know, going back to kind of like the Clubhouse tool, you know, a lot of startups will launch with iOS only, and they'll build their iOS app and then they'll grow from there. And I think that's a very narrow and outdated approach to building an application, to building software. There's a lot of tools out there nowadays that let you build a cross-platform experience that works on everything. Mm-hmm. And then you can get more niche down to just an iOS app and provide a really, really great iOS experience. But it cuts out so much of your market as a startup to just focus on just iOS. You know, that's great if that's specifically your user base and you're just building something within the iOS ecosystem. But if you're not, you're really cutting out, you know, 50% of your potential customers there. And you could create just such a great experience with other tools that are available now that let you deploy to iOS, to Android, to the web, to desktop. So I think that's one thing that, you know, there's still this old mentality and this old mantra of like iOS first, I got to build my iOS app. And I think that's just very outdated, and you really got to, you know, understand how to build something small that can get to everybody and then iterate from there.
Interesting. And so we're going to go back in the time machine a little bit. And this is just another random question that okay. I think about is that, what was it about that sweet 486 Windows machine that really, I guess, infatuated you? And that was kind of the birth of your love for technology, right?
Yeah, so totally. I mean, like I've always been, you know, computer nerd, into video games and everything like that. But it was that machine that, like, I got it from my uncle, and I really just got to get my hands dirty with it. You know, I broke it. I was reading through Windows manuals, you know, in like grade school, like, you know, figuring out how to fix whatever problem I had created and trying to, you know, customize this machine or whatever. You know, really got me deeply immersed into video games. And it was like my escape from, you know, all the, you know, other things that were going on in my life and stuff. I think it was the level of, you know, customization and modification of the system that you could do that really like started to, you know, intrigue me. And then, you know, slowly there, or, you know, shortly after, you know, a couple of years later, you know, I was building my own machines from the ground up, you know, building my own computers, you know, starting to write some code and getting into, you know, web code and everything like that. So, you know, I think that's, it was just like the possibility of creation that was possible with this machine and being able to, you know, take it in and build something out of nothing.
Yeah. And you know, that sounds like an entrepreneur right there, especially that last sentence. So do you think, and I love to ask this question, do you think an entrepreneur can, do you think you are just inherently an entrepreneur, or do you think you can be, or do you think you can develop into entrepreneur? And what I mean by that is, you hear a lot of times is like, I've been entrepreneur at heart since I was a little boy.
Yeah.
I used to try to sell things at the lemonade stand or trade cards or flip cards and whatnot. And then you hear some people where they worked a 9-to-5 until maybe they're like 45. And then all of a sudden they're starting their own business. So what do you think?
I think that it's a spark, right? It's a spark that can ignite in any of us. And I think, you know, sometimes we get it young and it's something that's been with us, you know, our whole lives. And that person just has that mindset and that, you know, mentality. And then I think sometimes it can be, you know, created through our systems, you know, whether that's a dead end job that, you know, you don't want to see, or, you know, losing a loved one to, you know, something that could have been preventable, or something that sparks something inside you that like, this could change. And like, I have the power to change it, you know? And then I think, you know, beyond that, it's also like a drive. I think that, and that's something that I think you can be born with. I mean, I know that I have just a very intense drive that I've always had. But I think it's also something that can be created out of circumstance where like all of a sudden you develop a drive to make change in the world. And so I think it can be both. Absolutely. But I do think that some people are just born, or at least, you know, bred from an early age to do it. But I, you know, I think that just as realistically that somebody could, you know, the situations could arise that they would get that spark, you know, later in life and, you know, run with it.
What's in store for the future with Tragic Media?
We're you know, just continuing to grow and evolve. We're investing in building out some of our own products. So, you know, we've always just been a consultant.
brand. So now we're trying to build out some of our own SaaS products to help other companies like us solve some of the problems that we've built some product or some, you know, solutions internally that we're going to then productize and build out to, you know, help other software teams. And then we're also, kind of like you were talking about before, you know, everything's always changing. There's always these new things available. Well, now, you know, one of the new things that's, you know, arising really quickly is these really advanced no code platforms and low code platforms, which are, you know, going to take away some of the, you know, work that, that we do in terms of, you know, developing some websites or e-commerce sites or whatever. And so with that, we have to continue to evolve into, you know, deeper forms of technology in order to continue to be a tech company. So we've been, you know, really making over the last few years, we've made a lot of a growth into our cloud operations or DevOps operations to help, you know, clients with the, you know, backend infrastructure of their organization. And now we're making a move to start to grow into more IoT software. So doing more connected device software, you know, pulling data from outside sensors, helping one of our clients that we're starting to work with, they have like a smart building system. So we're going to help with implementation and growth of their smart building system to be able to, you know, just pull data, you know, about room use, about, you know, control lighting and all sorts of other really cool things like that. So that's going to be the focus, I think, over the next 2 years is starting to grow out our expertise in the IoT sphere and ideally kind of transition. So we're going to have some of our own SaaS products and then we'll be a little bit more focused into some little bit deeper technology and then probably take a little bit of a step away from the standard web and e-commerce things. Cause I think that stuff's just going to be a lot more, you know, plug and play over the next few years. It's going to be a lot more just easy for non-technical or, you know, not heavy engineering people to manage.
Cool. Yeah. So as we get ready to wrap this conversation up, let's do a few random questions. So the first one is, what does success mean to you?
Success is, you know, I think that it's financial stability and it's control of my time.
Yes. And I like your quote here, one more mountain to climb, then it's all downhill from there. So what is that? When I say that quote, what does that like speak to you?
You know, it's just, that's kind of always like my mentality on it is I'm always just focused on like, you know, this next hurdle. Like I have my big vision, but you always have to be kind of focused on the hurdle at hand and making steps towards making the business grow in a more efficient way. So, you know, each mountain that you get over, the next one should be sustainably smaller and smaller and smaller. So, you know, in a sense, even though you're still going up, you're always going down because you've hit the bigger mountains earlier on. So I think that's what it means to me.
What do you think your superpower is?
I mean, it's really my drive, I think, and my ability. And then I think the other piece of that is my ability to kind of like understand goals and present that to a technical team. And so the bridge between the non-technical and the technical, I don't think there's a lot of people that can live in both worlds really well. So I can speak to my engineering team and then translate that really well to, you know, a head of, the CEO of a really big organization who might not be as technically minded, but definitely wants all the details and wants to understand everything that's happening. So I think I have a really strong right brain, left brain kind of bridge there. So, yeah.
And so what's your personal health and wellness routine? How do you keep yourself staying mentally sharp and healthy?
Well, it was a lot of, you know, the gym was a great outlet for me previous pandemic. California made that a little bit tough. They're finally opening back up. There's definitely been a lot of like indoor, you know, exercise. I'm vegan. So I'm very focused on, you know, eating very healthy and, you know, being in control of what I take in and making sure that it's all clean and healthy. And I have like, you know, a strong supplements, kind of like regiment that I take just to, you know, not only to support, being a vegan, but also because, you know, the, work amount, you know, I work a lot, and I work very, heavily and stuff. And so being able to, you know, sustain that with, you know, good brain health, with other things like that, other supplements just to ensure that, you know, I'm taking care of myself as best I can. And then a lot of music, I think would be my other, you know, health and wellness therapy.
Awesome. You know, speaking of music, I love music myself. So the next thing is, what's your all-time musical starting five? And it could be groups, solo artists, and they can be dead or alive. Well, who would you put in your top five?
My top five groups?
You want to do groups, solo artists, or do you want to do a combination?
Yeah, I guess I'll do groups.
Okay. Let's do groups.
Okay. So we'll do, Dystopia.
Okay.
Which is a grindcore band. We'll do the Casualties, Pantera, Nausea, and Pig Destroyer.
Okay. I'm going to have to listen to a few of those. Cause I usually, when the guest recommends the groups, I at least go listen to a song or two.
Okay, cool. Before.
Yeah. So
nice. So yeah, be in for a fun little mix there.
Yeah. So, cause I think I've heard of Pantera.
Yeah.
I think that's
the most mainstream one that I mentioned. Casualties is pretty big right now. But a lot of the other ones are more, kind of more underground grindcore. Pig Destroyers, I guess, getting pretty big, but yeah.
Pantera is heavy, right?
Yeah. It's all heavy.
Okay. So cause I'm pretty sure I think I've heard of Pantera, cause I think it was played in the gym sometimes. Cause I've worked out in like some very dungy garage gyms, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and it's been just like heavy, heavy metal.
Yeah. 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 Nice. I like that.
And I think, yeah. So,
yeah.
Okay, cool. So the next thing is, pretend you got a bottle of wine or coffee or tea, and you can invite three people at the dinner table with you, and they could be dead or alive. And so who would you invite for this roundtable discussion? And it has to exclude family and friends.
Okay. I think in terms of like people that I'd like to meet, I think, you know, top list for me would be Richard Branson, and then Bill Gates. Mm-hmm. A third person. I don't know that I have a third one top of mind. I'm blanking. Those two are like the two like inspirational leaders that I would, you know, really like to like, you know, pick their brains and have a conversation with, because I think they've just both accomplished so much.
Yeah. Well, you keep the dinner shorter than one person. That means more talking and more learning from just those two as well. Nice. So we'll stay with those two.
Perfect.
All right. So the last question here is that somebody comes up to tap you on the shoulder and they say, Rich, I love the work that you're doing. I love when you were on the Optimal Health for Busy Entrepreneurs podcast. You really motivated me. And what are three things that I can do today to start becoming a superhuman entrepreneur? What would you tell them?
One is, you know, make sure that you're, you know, have a clear vision on the problem that you're going to solve. Mm-hmm. You know, where you want to make your impact. Two, I think is really, building the right team to support you. You know, they always focus on the entrepreneur, but the entrepreneur is just the figurehead of the machine that he's created that's running behind him. And machines are mostly made of people. And people are the ones that are going to, you know, make you successful or take you down. You know, there's definitely been individuals with positive and negative in my career that have, you know, very meaningfully impacted, you know, the road that we've been on. And then I think the third one is just like, take care of yourself. Like there is just, once you get caught up in it, you know, especially if you maybe are really driven, a little bit borderline workaholic, you know, you can really get caught up in that, get caught up in like your vision. And so like the two things is like, I guess I'm going to take my dinner guest and put it over here. The one is like, you know, take care of yourself. And the other one is just like, you know, you have to have your vision, but you have to be open to change within that, because like you may have your road, but there's going to be a lot of opportunities and different things that are going to pop up along the way. And you have to be open to changing your road, because a lot of times that's going to lead to bigger success.
Awesome. That is a great way to bookend this conversation. Rich, where can listeners find out more about you?
Find me on LinkedIn. You can look up Tragic Rich. Find us online, tragic.media. You know, also on Instagram, Tragic Rich, if you want to follow my a little bit less business side of things.
Awesome. And I will have all of those in the show notes as well. Rich, thank you so much for joining me for this awesome conversation. And for listeners out there, stay awesome, be limitless, and go be superhuman. Peace.